5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of the Word of God that we read and consider today, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in St. Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 9, where we read as follows in the name of Jesus. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Then his disciples answered him, How can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? He asked them, How many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said to set them also before them. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. The large crowd of 4,000 people had been with Jesus for 3 days. What had they been doing? They had been listening to Jesus teach them. Jesus taught with authority. He stated God's word with dogmatic certainty. Whenever he taught the Holy Scriptures to the people, he was teaching them about himself. Jesus is the bread of life. While they fasted physically for 3 days, they were being fed spiritually. They obviously put greater importance on the Word of God than they did on their daily bread. They needed God's Word more than they needed food for their bodies. We pray, Thy kingdom come, before we pray, Give us this day our daily bread. It is to establish His kingdom among us and throughout the world that God keeps this world going and provides people, both Christians and unbelievers, with their bodily needs. Today's gospel lesson teaches us God's priorities. The richer people become, the less interest they have in the one who blesses them with their wealth. If you want to decrease church attendance, make folks rich. They'll learn to substitute the worship of the creation for the worship of the Creator. In fact, they don't have to learn this. Idolatry is the very essence of the sin that lives within our hearts. God knows how we naturally run into idolatry, worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. Fallen, sinful human beings all have a limited knowledge of God from nature. But on account of our sinful nature, we take this knowledge we have of God and we use it to create idols. This is how St. Paul puts it in Romans chapter 1. Although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. People love to create false gods and worship the creation rather than the Creator. They want something they can see and touch and feel and recognize. Most often in our day, that consists in property, money, or the ability to make money. If knowledge of the true God gets in the way of accumulating more money and acquiring more material goods, well, then going to church, attending Bible class, reading the Holy Scriptures, and learning more of the Creator of heaven and earth will just have to wait. First, we need to get more of that stuff that we can see, touch, feel, and spend. After all, we don't want to go hungry. God hates idolatry. He drove his own chosen people off the land he swore to them on account of their idolatry. Yet this same God who cannot tolerate idolatry nevertheless loves his idolatrous children, and by loving them, draws them out of idolatry into the true Christian faith. It is as if God is saying, you want something you can see, you want something you can touch, you want physical, visible, tangible proof that you can put your confidence in me and in me alone to care for your physical needs. Well, here it is. And then he sends into this world his only begotten Son to take on our own human flesh and blood and to appear among us and to show to our eyes, ears, and other senses that he, God, is with us. God the Son becomes Emmanuel, God with us. Conceived by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, he who was begotten of his Father before all worlds, now in time is born of a woman. Look at this miracle. There were 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish. There were 4,000 people. It is not possible that 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish can feed 4,000 people. There was not enough food. Jesus displayed to them his creative power. Jesus is God. The proof is crystal clear. Only God can create something out of nothing. Jesus creates something out of nothing. Therefore, Jesus is God. There are many self-proclaimed miracle workers who do impressive things. You can watch them on TV. They heal diseases. They get special revelations about who has what problem. They sell themselves as the cure to what ails ailing folks so desperate for help that they'll trust anyone with a good line. But we know that they don't really heal anyone, and whatever miracles they actually perform are the kinds that are impossible either to verify or falsify. Not so with Jesus. He takes 7 loaves of bread and feeds 4,000 people. His disciples gather together 7 large baskets of leftovers. They ate all they wanted, and there was more left over than when they began. This was a miracle that proved Jesus is God. It wasn't the first time either. Not long before this, Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread, and afterwards they collected 12 baskets of leftovers. Jesus deliberately and repeatedly gave the people irrefutable proof that he was the Creator God who provides for his creation. Jesus did what only God can do, and therefore Jesus is God. The same Jesus who nursed at his mother's breast, depending on her for food several times a day, is the Jesus who feeds the hungry by his almighty creative power. He felt compassion for the hungry crowd that had neglected their bodily needs for their spiritual needs. He acquired for them that for which their souls hungered. It was not just a matter of him talking. Every promise he made to that spiritually thirsty crowd of thousands was a promise on which he would have to deliver. He would have to purchase the life he promised to give them. The price would be dear. It would be his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He would pay it, not only for them, but also for the billions upon billions of starving people who could never find in themselves their way to God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, writes St. Paul. The gift is freely given, but it didn't come without cost. It had to be purchased. Perhaps you've heard folks talk about cheap grace. There is no such thing. Grace is expensive. In order that you and I might receive God's grace today in our need, God the Son had to bear all of our sins in his body on the cross. Look and see. See the Creator who causes the sun to shine and the rain to fall, the crops to grow, the jobs to be established, the retirement to be secured. See him set aside any use of creative power and become weak, apparently helpless, as he suffers for the sin of the world. Make no mistake about it, the one on whom we depend for our daily bread and every breath we take is the one whose blood is shed on Calvary to wash away our sin. And he's the one who tells us that we shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that he speaks to us, because his words are spirit, life, and truth. The text before us is a powerful indictment of our generation, as well as a wonderful assurance that God will always provide for his people. Can you imagine leaving behind everything you ordinarily spend your time doing and spending 3 days out in the hot sun listening to a man preach? There was no clever come on to bring them in. Jesus didn't offer them popular entertainment. He used no gimmicks or special measures. He talked. He taught. He taught them what was right and wrong in the eyes of God and how they were not right, but wrong. He taught them a higher morality than anything anyone else taught. He showed by his actions that he had power over sin, death, disease, and the devil himself. He claimed the authority to forgive sins and to give eternal life. He didn't offer them the riches of this world, but he taught them of the riches of heaven. He shunned the approval of the prestigious teachers and religious leaders of his day while welcoming unworthy sinners into fellowship with God. He taught with authority, and the crowd loved it. They couldn't get enough. They stayed and stayed until their food was gone and they were hungry. God did not give us his words so that we would keep them safely confined between the covers of a book. He gave us his words so that they might be in our hearts. He wants us to receive them in faith. He wants us to love his promises, and in this way to love him. He wants us to teach his words to our children, talk about them. The words that come to us from God are our lives because they reveal God to us. Just before Jesus went to the cross to die, he prayed to his Father, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." The reason God's word gives us eternal life is because God's word to us enables us to know him, and knowing him is to know eternal life. This means that to lack a hunger for God's word is to lack a hunger for God. Those who do not want to be fed with God's word do not want God as their Father. And yet, as Jesus says, he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. The God who gives us life, sustains our lives, protects us from all harm, feeds us, clothes us, shelters us from the elements, is our Father. The world doesn't know what this means, but we Christians do. We know that God feeds, preserves, and cares for all people for the sake of his holy Christian church. And everything God does, he does always from a fatherly heart. And when we doubt this, we look to where his Son, whom he loved from eternity, was lifted up to suffer, and we take to heart the words of St. Paul, "He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" God is not beholden to the demands of fallen and sinful humanity. He cares for us because he loves us. He's our Father. He wants us to know him as children know their loving Father. This is why he sent his Son, and why through his Son he continues to feed us body and soul for life in this world and for eternal life in heaven. We thank you for being our guests this morning on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. The congregations of First Confessional Lutheran Parish are happy to provide this broadcast to you every Sunday morning. We'd like to invite you to attend one of the congregations of our parish. Every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, we have divine service at First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile. At 9:30, divine service at Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. And at 11:30, divine service at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville. If you'd like to contact us, you can go to the World Wide Web, www.christforus.org, and let us know what you think of the broadcast. And you have the opportunity there to read and listen to sermons and to read papers and go to interesting links. Please tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.